Americans are losing their home, can't even freaking afford food anymore.
Your candidate for change in the afternoon. This is the Mario Solis Merritt Show on AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk. Yeah.
7 minutes after 4 o'clock, we are finally on the air, and you are listening to the one and only Mario Solis Merritt Show, TGIV. Thank God it's Viernes. You're listening to AM 760. We're also streaming on AM760.net. By the way, the new and improved AM760.net, they just redid the website, and it looks terrific. So if you haven't checked it out today, you got to check it out, AM760.net, where you could stream the program. You could get, previous podcasts, etc. So, and of course, get background information on most of the topics that we talk about each and every day right here on the one and only Mario Solis Merritt Show. I have to say, there were a couple of really, really hot topics that we had gotten into. And I had to take a day off yesterday. And when I left on Wednesday, a whole bunch of stuff had opened up. And we had started this conversation and said, I didn't want to think I was dodging people. I have to tell you something. I talked about Ralph Nader's statement that day. That was the day that Ralph Nader made a statement about Barack Obama, quote unquote, talking white. And I slammed him for saying that. Ended up getting a ton of email from folks defending Barack Obama. So we definitely want to follow up on that. Let me correct that. I got a ton of email from people defending Ralph Nader. That's what I got. Based on my defense of what he said about Barack Obama. Let me clarify again. I didn't defend Ralph Nader. I attacked Ralph Nader. People got pissed off at me. Is that clear enough? Because Mondo keeps on shaking his head like I'm getting this wrong. Yeah. So that's what happened.
Why don't you like Nader?
I was slamming his statement, dude. I was slamming what he said. What he said was completely off base and inappropriate. That's one thing. I also have been pissed off at him since the Gore election. That's a whole other thing that we could get into someday. But the other day I was slamming him because of what he said, and I got a ton of. You know what's interesting about it is that a lot of the emails that came through were people basically, complain, and these were a lot of regular listeners. Actually, a couple of my Facebook friends on Facebook.com, right, were basically saying that we needed to treat him with continued respect. Because, and this was a repeated comment, because of all the work that he had done for the progressive community for all these years. And I have to tell you something. I think that we need that whole statement bothers me. It's kind of like this war going on between Glenn Greenwald and Keith Olbermann. I don't know if you've heard about that. We'll get into that in just a second. But, I mean, the bottom line is this. The bottom line is that when progressives say bad things, things that are inappropriate, things that are divisive and harmful, then we should call them out on it too. And I believe in giving them the benefit of the doubt if it's shaded a little bit or if it's a close call, right? Then I believe in giving them the benefit of the doubt, of course, based on whatever their personal history is on the topic. But this was not subtle. There was no mistaking what he was saying. I mean, he said what he said. He said that he thought Barack Obama was talking white and that a black politician had to focus on issues in the African-American community and kind of lecturing on that. And while I will always hold myself to a higher standard on the way I support the Latino community, I don't find myself in a position to be telling other people what they should be doing in their community. I think that's just way, way, way over the top and inappropriate. That is number one. And then the other number one is this all he's talking white thing. Said he's talking white because he's not talking like Jesse Jackson. And I'm not sure what that means. Does that mean that Jesse Jackson only talks black? That statement is so loaded that no matter which way you look at it, there's just no way to justify that statement from him. And I don't care what he's done. I don't care what he's done for whatever period of time. The comment was bad. If Imus had said it, I would call him out on it. If O'Reilly had said it, I would call him out on it. We can't be giving people a pass just because, you know, they did, you know, they performed a prior service. I'm not saying that we need to hate him because he said this statement. But what I'm saying is that when people, even good people, do or say wrong or bad things, then we need to call them out on it. And that's just the bottom line. I mean, this was not a harmless statement. It created a stir and it created division. And once again, Ralph Nader needs to create a stir and he needs to create a division. I don't know why, but apparently he does. That's what he always does. That's what he needs to do. And I know that many of you still disagree with me, but I wanted to give another shot at it. And I also wanted to give you an opportunity, you know, to call me back on it, whether you agree or disagree, at 303-713-7600, 303-713-7600, because I feel like I kind of stirred up a hornet nest, and then I ended up taking yesterday off, and people didn't have a chance to vent some more if they wanted to. But it was the statement that I am denouncing. I don't think he's done much. I said that. A lot of people were all like, how can you say he hasn't done much? And then they didn't give me any examples of what he's actually done either. I mean, that's the other thing. And when I say he hasn't done much, I mean, he hasn't done much lately is what I mean. And he hasn't done much, you know, much that I could tell in the areas that he was criticizing Barack about. And that the urban areas in the inner cities. And this is not about sitting around and defending Barack. This is not about just, it's all about Barack and all of that stuff. I'm talking about Ralph Nader. If he had said that about, Cesar Chavez or, you know, who God rest his soul or whoever, you know, or Dolores Huerta. If he said that about Dolores Huerta, for instance, I'd be saying the same thing. You know, it's not about the individual. I'm not out here about, you know, just defending everything Barack does, but I'm telling you that statement was just off base. But it speaks to a larger issue, I think. And that is, and I've wanted to talk about this for a while, how far should we go in defending progressives? How far should we go in defending progressives when they say or stupid things, or when they vote stupid ways, because or ways that we disagree with. Because there's this big internet battle going on right now between Glenn Greenwald, who, by the way, is a very weighty progressive. He writes for Salon.com, which is really kind of, you know, one of your fancier websites. And Keith Olbermann, who, you know, I've had trouble with the past. But they're going back and forth right now because Glenn Greenwald is calling Keith Olbermann out because he feels that Keith Olbermann has been inconsistent on FISA. He said that when Bush was for FISA, Olbermann was against it. But now that Barack is going to vote for FISA, Olbermann is basically praising Barack for basically, you know, standing up to the, quote, left wing of the party. And so Glenn Greenwald is calling out Keith Olbermann on that. It's turned into be this, you know, 24-48-hour internet feud that's going on right now between the two. But I think it's the larger issue that I want to ask you about. You know, is because we're in election cycle, does this mean that we just need to keep our mouth shut? Or is this a situation where we continue to press you know, whether it's Barack or whether it's Ralph Nader or whoever it is, you know, to we continue to press them on standing up for stuff that we need to get done in this country. And I really want to know. I didn't mean to phrase it so, in such a polarized fashion, but, you know, maybe there's something in between. And if so, you could offer it at 303-713-7600, 303-713-7600. Overall, TGIV, thank God it's Viernes. We got a big show for you today. Lots to talk about. And then later on in the afternoon, Oscar comes into the big boys room, and it's the lowdown, too. So we got all of that, your calls, y mucho más, right here on the one and only Mario Solis Maric Show. Right now, it is 4:17. Right after the hour, you're listening to the one and only Mario Solis Maric Show. www.gotomario.com is the website. Of course, you can find out all the topics we talk about and stream us at am760.net, coloradosam760.net. All right, we got a ton of calls right now. By the way, we'll take the calls right now, but I also want to let you know that in just a little bit, after the next break, we're going to have our good friend on, Chris Gunn from the America Small Business League. He's their director of communications. He comes on from time to time to talk about what's going on with the Small Business Administration, the struggle that they've had with them to make sure that the proper amount of contracts, government contracts or business contracts, are going to small businesses. So that struggle continues, even with the Bush administration. They used to be, you know, the Republicans used to be seen as pro-business, but we're not sure what's happened with any of their what they used to be. But right now, let's go to the phones at 303-713-7600. Line 2, Charlie from Boulder, you're on AM 760.
Hey, how are you?
Good, Charlie.
Good. I just want to say, for someone who has twice voted for Ralphie Boy, it's a little disappointing what he said, and I think Ralphie's got a little case of empire-itis. It can happen on the right.
Wow.
It can happen on the left.
Right.
And you're a little jealous when someone else comes along and has a way of offering and just a wonderful premise for what we can do, and a lead a narrative into a political party. In this case, as simple as the Democratic Party, who would have thunk it? And you didn't come up with it first. And
right.
He didn't. And that's when cynical things come out of people's mouths. You said, do we just shut up, you know, during political seasons? Well, you should always think about shutting up when somebody has said something really good. And just because all you end up ever doing then, just like everybody, whether it's William Crystal, Ralph Nader, it really doesn't matter,
right,
is that you end up projecting where you're coming from and you give yourself away. And I'm afraid, as much as of all his work, and I didn't even have to qualify it. He just is a little jealous. I think that to me is painfully obvious.
Hey, Charlie, thank you for your call. I appreciate it. TGIV, and he called 303-713-7600. Line 3, Jeremy from Denver, you're on AM 760.
Hi, Mario. I can't believe this is my second time calling you in the last couple of days because you have subjects to get to me.
You know what? I have to tell you, Jeremy, I was going to say the exact same thing. I was like, I can't believe it. 2 days ago, you were a first-time caller.
I never call radio stations. I never call. I listen faithfully from whenever I get up in the morning to probably 7 o'clock at night, off and on. But anyway, I'm from Chicago. I'm an African-American woman, very professional. I'm kind of semi-retired. I'm taking care of my granddaughter. And this election is so important. And I just don't know what's going on with Ralphie. I'm still mad at him from 2000 anyway.
Right.
I respect his work. But that was just a low blow. And, you know,
right,
for a black person, that is almost like a racist. I hate to hear you talk white. What does that mean?
Yeah, I'm not sure exactly.
Because he's very intelligent and he's articulate and he gets across his point, is that because we're talking white? Come on. You know, we're educated. And that was just a low blow for him. And I'm just so disappointed. And yes, we need to speak out. You know, Democrats, we're a passionate people. We love people, but we still need to speak up for what's right. That's all I wanted to say.
Hey, Jeremy, thank you for calling. I appreciate it. Good to hear from you again. And she called 303-713-7600. Line 4, Bob, from your cell. You're on AM 760. Not only from your cell, I guess from your rig.
Yeah, that's all right, Mario. How are you today?
I'm doing good. How are you, Bob?
I'm great, man. I listen to your show about every day.
Oh, thank you, sir.
Yeah, I really enjoy your show a lot, man.
Hey,
all I want to say, really, you hit something on the head while ago, and there's so much of a bigger picture here. I'm a progressive liberal from South Texas, and God forbid I'm a white man, you know? But, man, we're going to have to start learning how to put some stuff aside and start pulling together on some things, because there's so much of a bigger issue than for me fighting for the white cause and the Latinos fighting for the Latino cause and the blacks. We're going to have to realize, hey, we're going to have to get above that to a certain extent. I'm not saying blow everything under the rug. I'm not even saying that, man, because where I'm from down in South Texas, people are doing pretty doggone good these days. You go to Fiesta in San Antonio, and, man, it's going to be about a 50-50 mix of whites and Hispanic people there.
Right.
You know, there's so much intermingling down there that doesn't happen in Colorado.
Yes.
And I have really come to really appreciate my home state for the efforts that the people are making down there. There are so many districts down there where there are so many politicians and county leaders and state leaders who are elected officials who have Hispanic surnames that don't even come from a district that's necessarily Hispanic majority.
That's right.
You know?
No, you're absolutely right.
So, and what that tells me is that people are starting to hear the voice of sweet reason, and that the common sense has to prevail, and we're going to have to start looking at this as like, okay, what can we all do? Because otherwise, this is just what I think. Otherwise, we all may as well just learn how to speak Chinese and be done with it.
You know, I appreciate your sentiment, Bob, and that's what I've noticed, kind of, because as I don't know if you realize it, but I have a lot of, you know, contacts and stuff in Texas, but I definitely have noticed that. So how let me ask you a whole different set of questions.
Okay.
How's the rig business these days? I mean, how you doing under the gas pressures?
Well, you know, we have to really watch every penny that we spend. I mean, and I do mean every penny. You know, we don't idle our trucks a minute over, you know, just what it takes to get somewhere and turn the truck off, do everything we can do for fuel mileage. And you know what, the way I look at it and the way a lot of my brothers and sisters out here on the road look at it is that's really us doing our part, you know, for our country, you know, because the less that we have to do what we're going to do or change our whole system, our whole economic system.
People don't realize it, but you folks are at the backbone of what keeps it all working. And so I think about I have very, very close, you know, friends that are in that business. So I know how tough it's been. And I know it's not as lucrative as it was last year. Let me put it that way. And I'm grateful that you guys are sticking through this, and hopefully we could bring you some relief.
Well, we have to. I wish that people wouldn't look at us like we're in a fishbowl. Like, they need to be looking at us like they're in it with us, because, like, when they were talking about a trucker strike, you know, up in New York, just to kind of bring some awareness, people were kind of just, like, sitting to the side and observing that happening, you know. And I think sometimes people don't realize just how much our industry affects their daily lives, you know.
I agree with you, sir. Thanks for what you do. I'll talk to you soon.
All right. Have a good one, Mario.
You too. That's Bob from his rig on his cell, and he called me at 303-713-7600, 303-713-7600. We're going to take a break right now. When we get back, Chris Gunn from the American Small Business League will be with us to update us on his epic, what's turning out to be an epic battle between the small business community and the Bush administration. We'll have all of that y mucho más right here on the one and only Mario Solis Marit Show. It's 29 minutes after 4 o'clock.
And over and over again until eventually, you know, it in their minds it may become truth. But, you know, in reality, we're looking at a situation where we're looking at large corporations receiving small business contracts and the continued efforts by the Bush administration to cover those efforts up. So, say, for example, last week, We actually had a letter run in the New York Times. It was actually a letter from acting administrator of the Small Business Administration, Jovita Carranza, and she basically came out and said that, you know, it was a record-setting year for small businesses last year in terms of contracting, that women-owned small businesses hit a record level. But what she failed to recognize is that, number one, large corporations are receiving a large portion of federal small business contracts, so we're still looking at a major problem, and it wasn't a record-setting year. And number two, the women-owned small business businesses are trying to get this woman-owned small business set-aside program implemented, and the Bush administration hasn't implemented it since 2000 when it was actually passed.
Wow.
So they're diverting attention away from, you know, the fact that, well, women-owned small businesses are not getting the 5% that they should get, and saying, well, they received a record amount, but, you know,
like a record amount since the last lowest amount.
Right. Well, you know, last year they received 1%. This year received 1.1% of the record amount.
Right. Exactly. Well, now, do you feel at this point, I mean, obviously, you know, the page seems to be turning here. How do you, I mean, what are your plans for this next period, this next kind of, you know, period, election period and seasonal period?
You know, we're going to continue to work with some of our elected officials and we're constituents of, rather, the elected officials that we are constituents of, and work for legislation that's going to stop this problem. We're also going to be working with Senator Barack Obama's office a little bit in terms of actually getting this issue out there within the presidential spotlight, because really what we're looking at is the presidential candidates haven't really acknowledged the diversion of federal small business contracts to large corporations other than Barack Obama. And we're really looking for him to step forward and take this issue by the horns and really start talking about it. And I think that it's really something that within an Obama administration, we would be looking at some pretty serious changes in terms of contracting. And, you know, so we're really going to start pushing for that. We're also going to be looking at, we're going to try to pull together some of this data from the past. So we were just successful in winning our lawsuit against the SBA and obtaining data from 2005 and 2006. But we'd really like to take a comprehensive view at all of the data from the Bush administration. So we're going to go ahead and request data from 2001 through 2004. And then we're going to be looking pretty hard at 2007 data here over the summer.
We're speaking to Chris Gunn, and he is the spokesperson for the American Small Business League. I don't know how our paths ever crossed, but it's just been it's always fascinating to talk to you, and I really, really support what you folks are doing. What is the website so people could find a way to support you?
The website is www.asbl.com. We've got a variety of information on there in terms of, you know, just updates in terms of news. We've got action items where people can actually go and contact their legislators and really learn about some of these issues from a small business perspective. And we've got all kinds of things on there that really make it easy for you to be active in the small business community.
Now, are you going to be in Denver during the convention at all, Chris?
You know, I don't know if we're going to have a representative out there, but if we do, we'll definitely make sure to contact you.
Yeah, please. If you do, please, because there's obviously going to be a ton of activity out there, and I want to make sure that the voice of the American Small Business League gets heard. Now, very quickly, because we're almost out of time, you mentioned that they're going to be pushing some legislation. Do you have someone who's going to introduce it for you yet?
Yeah, we're working with Senator Barbara Boxer.
Oh, great.
We're a constituent of her. She's always been a strong proponent of small business, and she's taken a look at this legislation with us, and we've actually written much of this legislation with her, and they've been really accommodating and really understanding of this problem, and so I think that we're going to try to move forward with them. We'll see what happens over the summer.
Yeah, please let us know, and that way we could keep the topic going. What you guys are doing is so important. We know that this economy is not going to turn around without small businesses, you know, being a huge part of the mix. It just won't happen without small businesses, and so that's why we appreciate everything you do, Chris.
Oh, well, thank you, Mario.
And we'll talk to you soon.
All right, sounds great.
Bye-bye. And that's Chris Gunn. He is the Director of Communications for the American Small Business League. It's ASBL.com, ASBL.com. Check him out. And we're going to link to his site right now as we speak at www.gotomario.com. For these guys, I always put this push. They're doing a job that very few people want to do or have been doing as effectively, let me say this, and if you could find $5, $10, whatever, you know, and some of you, I've seen the demos of our audience in Denver Metro. I know some of you could do a lot more than that, quite frankly. So go ahead and go to the website. We're linking to it right now at www.gotomario.com. All right. We're going to take a quick break here. My name is Mario Solis Maric. It's 4:42 on AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk. We get back. We'll talk about the big unity happening. Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton make their first joint public political appearance. My question is, what is your reaction to it? We'll talk about it y mucho más right here on TGIV. The Mario Solis Maric Show. It's 4:43. Let's get a traffic update from Scott Boylan. Uh, 4:46. Right here on the one and only Mario Solis Maric Show. 303-713-7600 is the number. All right. This was Unity Day. Aren't you excited about the Unity Day? Today was Unity Day. Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton made their first joint public appearance. Where were they? They were in Unity, of course. Unity, New Hampshire. A little corny, I thought. But
a little corny.
A little corny.
If I were to make some joke, you'd have been like, oh my God.
Right.
Come on. Yeah. It's super corny.
Yeah. Did they plan that?
Oh, yeah. For a second, he had me. For a second, Oscar had me. Turns out they each got 107 votes, exactly 107 votes each in Unity during the primary. So, you know, it's one of those things, I guess, that's bizarre that happens. So why not capitalize on it politically? Hey, why not? So we'll go ahead. Well, do we have a couple clips from that deal? Yes, we do. First, let's hear Hillary Clinton speak to the crowd.
We believe in the old-fashioned idea that public service is about helping people, helping them solve their problems and live out their own dreams, because we've had every opportunity and blessing in our own lives, and we want the same for every American. That we do not want to see our country continue on a path where people feel that their government doesn't work and their president doesn't care.
And Barack Obama, of course, they were on the stage together. He also spoke, but and he spoke about a lot. This was a portion, I guess, he talked about energy, correct? Was it about gas prices?
Energy.
All right. Here is Barack Obama today at the Unity rally.
We can continue to depend on dictators for our energy and destroy our planet in the process. We can give billions of dollars in tax breaks to oil companies who are making record profits while we offer pennies to consumers on a $4.30 gallon of gas. Or we can decide that solving our energy crisis will be one of the great projects of this generation. We can decide that it's time to give Americans immediate relief with another round of tax rebate checks and eliminate the oil company giveaways and invest in clean, renewable energies like wind and solar and biofuels, investments that can create millions of jobs and clean up the planet and free ourselves from dependence on other nations. It's time to leave our children a planet that is greener and cleaner. That's what Hillary Clinton believes in. That's what I believe in, and that's the choice we have in this election.
That's Barack Obama at today's Unity Conference. Rally. So very... Now, Mondo listened to the whole thing. I listened to a big old chunk of it. Mondo, and I walk in, I saw you guys watching this. You guys were all into it. Mondo found an interesting statement in all of this.
Very interesting.
And Mondo was all like, do you think he's giving a hint? I don't know whether he's giving a hint or whether you're wanting him to give a hint, Mondo. But I don't know. You don't know. Let's listen. This is Barack Obama. Notice the way he phrased. Notice when he speaks about Hillary Clinton.
We can perpetuate a system in which women are paid less for the same work as men, or you can join Senator Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama to start doing something to reverse some of these policies and make sure that equal pay for equal work is a reality all across America. That's a choice in this election.
He said you could join Hillary Clinton. He said you could join Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama.
That's a choice in this election.
That's the choice.
I don't know,
Mondo. I mean, by the way, I have to tell you something. If he was reading off prepared remarks, I do think that it's interesting. If he was just like on a roll, then maybe he just got overexcited. Do you know what I mean? He just got in the moment, wasn't thinking about what he said. But he's not a guy who doesn't think about what he says. But if he was reading, I mean, for somebody in his position to pair their name that way, it certainly is interesting. And, of course, the speculation on Mondo's part is that perhaps she is still in the running to be the VP. Right? That's your...
Maybe.
I thought it was a good catch, by the way. I don't want to belittle it. I thought it was a good catch, but...
Oscar wants to belittle it.
Yeah, Oscar doesn't want it to happen.
I didn't think so much the first time, but right now when I heard it, it did sound a little bit more like it was a hint.
Yeah, it's strange for him to put both their names side by side that way.
Yeah, Oscar, why
he says this over the air, but you not
gotta,
off the air.
Why you got to be so negative, Oscar the Grouch?
Yeah.
Oscar the Grouch, I wonder.
Yeah, there you go.
Wait, doesn't Rick want to vote for Ralph Nader?
Rick is voting for
I already did vote for Nader, man. I sent in an early ballot. It's like I'm back in college again.
There you go.
Because I did vote for him once in college.
It's just like college, let's throw an election. There you go. 303-713-7600. It's 4:52 on AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk. You heard the unity clips. Do you feel unified? Give us a call, 303-713-7600. My name is Mario Solis Marich. It's 4:52 on AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk. Let's get a traffic update from Scott Boylan.
Still heavy volume.
Five o'clock. What am I doing today?
You okay?
Yeah.
I think you started TGIV a little too early.
I started TGIVing already. By the way, speaking of TGIV, in a little bit, Mondo and Oscar will be together in the same room. I try to keep them separate all week. But they'll be in the same room, and when they're together, they are The Lowdown 2. They have a show at www.myspace.com/The Lowdown 2. And so they'll be giving us a musical update this afternoon. I hope it's good.
It's great.
Is it?
Yeah.
All right. What is it?
It's
it's
music for the month of June.
Oh, wow.
Since at the end of the month.
Very good. All right. Just testing you. 303-713-7600. 303-713-7600. Line 2, Iris on your cell. You're on AM 760.
Hi, Mario.
Hey, Iris.
How are you?
Good.
Good. I just wanted to say this whole thing about unity, I mean, it's so ridiculous. Real Democrats are unified. We have a candidate. That's who it is. Get behind him. This whole thing about...
What about phony Democrats?
Who?
Phony Democrats.
That's what I'm saying. We don't want them.
So, you're going to decide which ones are real and which ones are phony?
No, I'm not. I'm just saying, all the people that were behind Hillary are going to go behind Barack too, because Democrats want a Democrat, and that's the way it's going to be.
All right, you're very optimistic. Thank you, Iris. I appreciate your call. TGIV. And line 3, do we have time for one more before we take a break?
Yes.
All right. Line 3, Eddie from Denver, you're on AM 760.
Yeah, well, that last gal kind of makes my point there, kind of starry-eyed, right. Not looking at the full facts. You know, you've got a lot of white Jacksonian Democrats down south that don't see it that way, many millions. But my contention is with you. You know, you guys get on, and I'm voting for Bob Barr. I'm an independent here.
All right. Bob
so I'm not,
Barr.
You know, yeah. What?
Huh?
Yeah. So what I'm saying to you, no matter what comes up against Obama, FISA law, whatever, past associations, means nothing to you. And this FISA law is very serious. I as a Ron Paul supporter, I wasn't going along with that. I was liking what the Democrats were saying against that. But obviously it doesn't mean anything to him because a Democrat Congress gave Bush what he wanted here. With
it's not over yet, though.
What's that?
The Democrats in the Senate filibustered, and we got the date postponed for at least a few weeks to try
to
figure it out.
But we have Obama back in it. But here's what I'd like to challenge you on. Do you remember Jeff Renz?
No.
National syndicated host. Check his website out, Renz, R-E-N-S-E.
All right, so other than plugging somebody else's show on my head,
I plug it for a reason. Here's my point.
Yeah.
Oh, did you know that the choir master in Obama's Trinity Church was murdered 7 days before the Iowa caucus?
Oh, my God.
Donald Young. You know, hey, it's a fact.
All
right. Go to Renz.com and check it out.
All right.
You don't want to deal with nothing. No matter what comes your way, whether it's the national media or a guy like me calling you, you don't want to accept any wrongdoing on this guy.
Eddie.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Number one, unfortunately, a lot of people are murdered in this country every day. If anybody could bring me any credible evidence that there's any attachment between those two. Thank you, Eddie.
Yeah.
Have a good day. Don't drink too much of the right-wing Kool-Aid. All right, it may make you burp.
And use Splenda.
Right, exactly. 303-713-7600. It's 5 o'clock on AM 760. This is Mario. We'll be back right after these messages.